नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Title: The First Step in God Realization, Text 33. Nadyasya nadyata tanuruhani.
Nadyasya nadyata tanuruhani.
Mahiruha vishva tanurnipendra.
Mahiruha vishva tanurnipendra.
Ananta virya shvashitam matarishva.
Ananta virya shvashitam matarishva.
Gatirvaya
प्रवाह
नद्यस्याद्यथ तनुरुहाणि महीरुहा विश्वा तनुर्नृपेन्द्र अनन्तवीर्याश्वसिता मातरिश्वा गतिर्वया कर्मा गुणा प्रवाह. Nadyaha, the rivers. Asya, of him. Nadya, veins. Atha, and thereafter. Tanuruhani, hairs on the body. Mahi ruha, the plants and trees. Vishvatano, of the universal form. Nripa Indra, O king. Ananta Virya, of the omnipotent. Shvasitam, breathing. Matarishva, air. Gati, movement. Vayaha, passing ages. Karma, activity. Guna Pravaha, reactions of the modes of nature. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation: O King, the rivers are the veins of the gigantic body, the trees are the hairs of His body, and the omnipotent air is His breath. The passing ages are His movements, and His activities are the reactions of the three modes of material nature. Purport: the personality of Godhead is not a dead stone, nor is He inactive, as is poorly thought by some schools. He moves with the progress of time, and therefore He knows all about the past and future, along with His present activities. There is nothing unknown to Him. The conditioned souls are driven by the reactions of the modes of material nature, which are the activities of the Lord, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita 7.12. The modes of nature act under His direction only, and as such no natural functions are blind or automatic. The power behind the activities is the supervision of the Lord, and thus the Lord is never inactive, as is wrongly conceived. The Vedas say that the Supreme Lord has nothing to do personally, as is always the case with superiors, but everything is done by His direction. As it is said, not a blade of grass moves without His sanction. In the Brahma Samhita 5.48, it is said that all the universes and heads of them, the Brahmas, exist only for the duration of His breathing period. The same is confirmed here. The air on which the universes and the planets within the universes exist is nothing but a bit of the breath of the unchallengeable Virat Purush. So even by studying the rivers, trees, air, and passing ages, one can conceive of the personality of Godhead without being misled by the formless conception of the Lord. In the Bhagavad Gita 12.5, It is stated that those who are much inclined to the formless conception of the Supreme Truth are more troubled than those who can intelligently conceive of the personal form. Om Jnana Timayandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukham Karoti Vachanam Pangum Nangayate Girim Yat Kripa Tamam Vande Shri Guru Dinatayanam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasati Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama So continuing on with the description of the Virat Purush or the universal form of the Lord. So here it's described that the rivers are the veins of the Virat Purush. Just like we have veins within our body and the function of the vein is to carry blood to different parts of the body and to carry nutrients and oxygen and different things we need to in order to sustain. So in the same way, the rivers are compared to the veins of the gigantic body. So the river is the life of the planet. So if the rivers cease to exist, the planet cannot function properly. So the rivers carry all the nutrients and fresh water and all the supplies we need. So if you see in ancient civilizations, they were all based around the river. Because the river is the lifeblood. And the trees are the hairs of his body. So like we have hairs on our body. So in the same way, the trees are compared to the hair on the body of the Lord. So the tree out there is the hair. And the omnipotent air is his breath. So the air blowing, that's the breathing of the Virat Purush. And the passing ages are his movements. So by the passing of time, that's the movement of the Lord. So time passing. And his activities are the reactions of the three modes of material nature. So the activities which we are engaged in by the three modes of nature are actually the activities of the Lord. So that's described in this verse. So this verse is one of the verses in this section which is describing the Virat Purush. So the previous section was describing meditation on the Omkar. So that's an impersonal way of meditating on the Lord. But that also matures. That matures in meditation on the Paramatma in the heart. So in the previous verses it was described how the yogi, when he's meditating on Omkar, and gradually he comes to meditate on the Supersoul. He meditates on all the limbs of the Supersoul within his heart. So here it's described that the Virat Rupa is being described. So the whole idea is to impress upon the conditioned soul that the Lord has a form. That's the whole idea behind it. So in our conditioned state of bondage, we are in a diseased condition. So every living entity in this material world, whether a plant or animal or a human being, everyone is diseased. So the disease is basically being inimical of Krishna. So that's the disease of the conditioned living entity. Forgetfulness of Krishna. And so because of that disease, our material existence is being carried on. And our material existence is being fueled by the three modes of nature. So the three modes of nature is continuing or perpetuating our stay in this material world. And was described in previous verses how especially the modes of passion and ignorance, They really bind us in this material world. So the mode of goodness is liberating, whereas the modes of passion and ignorance, they are very binding. They hold us down. So the word of goodness is like a platform from which you can attain the mode of pure goodness. So because of this diseased state of condition of existence, we are here. And Prabhupada described in the previous verses that this diseased state of existence means the desire to lord it over matter. So the desire to control, desire for fame, respect, profit, adoration, then, you know, gross desires. These are all in various forms and shapes, the desire to lord it over matter. And because of that desire, we are stuck here, life after life. So, if we want to become liberated, in a sense, it's quite easy. Just stop desiring for ourselves. But because these desires are so deeply rooted, they are not so easy to uproot. Like you can see, a tree's roots are very. If it's a strong tree, the roots are quite deep. Not like the tree at the back. I thought it was a strong tree, but maybe it was, but the car was even stronger. But generally trees are very strong. They're quite very deep rooted. So to uproot a tree by human effort is not possible. You know, by a human person, by their own effort. So in the same way, because of a fruitive mentality, we are stuck in this material world. So this fruitive mentality is very, very strong. Fruitive mentality means, basically, in very simple terms, what's in it for me? So that's a fruitive mentality. So whatever we are doing, we have that mentality is there. Whatever we pursue is because of what's in it for us. So what will I gain out of it? Monetarily or in terms of facilities or in a subtle way, respect or prestige or all those things. So because of these things we are rotting in this material world. So the reason Krishna comes again and again is to bring the jiva back to the spiritual world. That's the reason, one of the reasons why the Lord comes. To reclaim the living entity, to go back to spiritual world, and to engage in bhakti, in pure and unalloyed bhakti. Because that's why Krishna has created the living entities. So when Durvasa Muni, when he was trying to escape from the Sudarshan Chakra, so because of his offense unto the feet of Ambarish Maharaj, so he was fleeing for his life. He went everywhere, inside the caves and in the ocean, just to take shelter. But he could not find any solace from the Sudarshan Chakra. So then he went to Brahma and he said, "Can you give me shelter?" Brahma said, "No, I cannot, because so many Brahmas and myself and even Lord Shiva, all the heads of planets are annihilated by the blink of the eye of the Lord. Just by the blinking of the Lord, the entire universe is annihilated." So he said, "I cannot protect you." And then he went to Lord Shiva. So Lord Shiva said, "You know, I can also not protect you, because Lord Vishnu is my Lord and Master. And so why don't you go to him?" So then he went to Lord Vishnu. And then Lord Vishnu basically told him that because the devotees live in my heart and I live in the heart of my devotees, so you have to ask forgiveness from Ambarish. Only then you'll be relieved from this Sudarshan Chakra. And one of the things Lord Vishnu mentioned to Durvasa Muni was the reason. He says, I'm self-satisfied by myself. I don't need anything. But I expand as my potencies, the jivas, in order to enjoy with them. So the reason we are created is to give pleasure to Krishna. That's the that's the soul, to increase the pleasure of the Lord. So the Lord Himself is self-satisfied. He doesn't need anything. So the reason He has created us is to give Him pleasure. So that's what we are meant for. So in the material world, we are, because of this fruitive mentality, we are trying to give ourselves pleasure. But unfortunately, it doesn't work. And we have to learn the hard way for most of us. And that hard way is, for many, many lifetimes, we'll be in the material world and bashed by the three modes of nature and birth, death, old age and disease. And then gradually we'll begin to awaken ourselves. So, but most people cannot take to Krishna consciousness directly, unfortunately. So though bhakti is the end, and bhakti can also be the means, but most people are unable to take to Krishna consciousness directly. So one of the ways, because the Lord is all merciful, one of Krishna's qualities is very merciful, so Krishna is always devising different means by which to elevate the living entities. So for those who are on a very, very materialistic platform, meditation on the Virat Rupa is recommended. So what is the Virat Rupa? So the Virat Rupa is just an imaginary feature of the Lord. So Virat Rupa is imaginary. This universe is there. Universe has planets, mountains, rivers. So many things are there. So they are situated in different places. It's all situated in the, coming from the stem of the Lord, from the navel of Lord Vishnu. There's a stem coming, and the three worlds are situated in that. It's in different positions. And so it's an imaginary conception of the Lord. It's an imaginary feature of the Lord. So, most people in the material world are atheists. That's why we are here, because of forgetfulness. So, atheism means to deny the existence of God. So, a step higher than that is to think, okay, God is everything. That's pantheism, as Prabhupada mentioned in the previous verses. So, pantheism means to think that God is matter. So matter is God. But then even, you know, higher than that is to understand, eventually to come to the stage of understanding that everything is the energy of Krishna. Everything is the energy of Vishnu. To connect everything. But in the lower stages, one thinks that, you know, God is everything. Or God is the energy. So that's very impersonal conception. But even to elevate one further, that's why there's the meditation on the Virat Rupa. So it's not only Virat, but it's Rupa. So the whole form is given. Okay, someone wants to think, okay, you want to meditate on matter, then when you see matter, you think of the form of the Lord. So when one sees matter and thinks of the form of the Lord, then one gradually, very gradually, gets purified. So when someone, if we see the trees, we can think that's the hair of the Lord. So we think, when we say the hair of the Lord, that means it's the form. So then one gets slightly purified in this way. So all these descriptions given here from the feet of the Lord are the lower planets, and rising up to the eyes, which is the sun and the moon. And here the river is the veins of the Lord, and the breath is His air. So in this way one can gradually think that yes, this matter is, all this matter is a form of the Lord. So that's still a lower stage in which that's a lower stage of pantheism, in which one thinks this form is of matter is Vishnu. So this matter is Vishnu. But of course a higher understanding is this matter is an energy of Vishnu. That's a higher understanding. That's what the person is meant to come to. So that's what the Virat Rupa does. So in another place in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's mentioned that the Virat Rupa, which is an imaginary universal form is a partial manifestation of Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. So in the chapter describing the glories of Lord Balaram, it's mentioned that the Virat Rupa is a partial manifestation of Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. So here we see even the imaginary form of the Virat Rupa is actually coming from the Lord. So because it's coming from the Lord, it's a partial manifestation of the Lord. So when one thinks of it, one gets purified. And basically it's an imposition of the Lord, of the form of the Lord on matter. That's what it is. So it's intended for those people who are very much revolted against the personal conception of Krishna. So you see, some people, they cannot stand you mention to them that Krishna has a God is a Satchitananda person. He has a name, form, qualities and persons. Some people say that's impossible. That's not possible. How can that be possible? He's spiritual and his body does not degrade, is not affected by nature. And how he's not affected by time, and when he expands, he himself doesn't lose his original form. So some people can't conceive of this. So they are revolted by that idea. And then for them, we can encourage them by saying, okay, you think of the universe as the form of the Lord. And even Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, in the 10th chapter, in so many ways he explains how to see him through matter. So Arjuna wanted to see the universal form of Krishna. So the universal form is intended for those who are revolted by the personal conception of Godhead. And also it's meant to give a lesson to foolish men who accept a fake form of God. So that's one of the reasons why Arjuna wanted to see the universal form, to set a criteria for God. Because a lot of people these days say, I'm God. Have you met any God? If you're doing book distribution, you will probably come across a God. Some very proud person will say, I am God. Or even one time Prabhupada was giving a lecture and in the audience someone said, I am God. Prabhupada said, you're not God, you're a dog. So because of a very puffed up state, sometimes a person will think, I'm God. And to think oneself God is very convenient if one wants to make a living out of it. If to exploit the sentiments of people, especially in India, there are so many sadhus who will claim that they are God. There are so many bhagwans in India. They call it the Godmen. In the media it comes as the Godmen. Mm-hmm. So there are so many Godmen who think they are God, but to refute that, the universal form is there. So if someone says, I'm God, then we can say, okay, can you show your Virat Rupa? Because Krishna showed Arjuna his Virat Rupa. So we know what the Virat Rupa is like. Can you bring the whole universe in one place? So when Arjuna saw the Virat Rupa, the entire universe, he could see in the body of the Lord. He could see in the body of Krishna. The entire universe. So, but they cannot do that. But they will say, yes, you're not qualified. And this is my Leela. So when you're qualified, you can see. But Prabhupada's point was, then you go and kick on their face. So we can know that they are a fake person. So in order to reject that, also the universal form was shown. And so it's intended for materialistic people. So we can see how merciful the Lord is, that we are at such a low stage and how Krishna wants to bring us to the highest stage. So the highest stage is love of Godhead. That's Prema Pumartho Mahan. So the highest stage of our existence is to come to the stage of loving Krishna without any motivations. So we are stuck here in the material world, which is the dark side of the creation. So we know there's the spiritual sky, there's the Paravyoma, and then there's the causal ocean, and on the other side of the causal ocean is this material manifestation in which we are stuck. So this material manifestation is huge, but it's only 1/4 of the creation of the Lord. So even in this creation, there are so many planets and so many universes and planets. And we haven't even seen all of these. So we see how foolish people are. They say that when there are descriptions given of what's there on the other side, they just reject that as mythology, or that's all a mystery. But even so much in this universe itself is a mystery to us. We haven't been to so many other planets. We don't know what's out there. And all of this is because people don't understand the inconceivable potency of the Lord. If people understand the inconceivable potency of Krishna, then they can accept what's out there. But actually everything around us is inconceivable. Prabhupada gives the example of a banyan tree. How a banyan tree is so huge, but it comes out from a small seed. And then the fruits of the banyan tree produce so many other seeds. And from so many other seeds, a huge banyan tree comes. So this is inconceivable how it happens. How from such a small seed, a huge tree. And if we look at our own body, it is inconceivable how it's functioning. Everything in this world is inconceivable. So in the same way, the spiritual world is also inconceivable. But if we hear from authorities, if we hear from devotees, then we can begin to conceive what's there on the other side. So on the other side is the 3/4 creation of the Lord. So there's the Brahma Jyoti, then there's the Vaikuntha planets. So then in Vaikuntha planets there's a form of Narayan in each planet. And then beyond that, there is Krishna Loka, the topmost planet. So again, Krishna Loka is divided into Dwarka, Mathura and Golok. So there, even the Brahma Samhita has a description of Golok Vrindavan. What it is and what's going on over there. And how Krishna is residing with Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda Mai, all his dear devotees, they all are residing there and engaging in so many activities, and all the different kinds of rasas are described. So in this lowest of times, we have been given the highest. It's amazing. So we are not, in this lowest of times, we are, Kali Yuga is, people have no qualification for spiritual life. There's hardly any qualifications are there. But in this lowest of times, we are given the highest destination and the highest process of devotional service. So Lord, by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, He has given us how to follow in the footsteps to become a servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna. So we have been given, Brajadham is our destination. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he comes in Kali Yuga and he gives the most unqualified people the highest process. And Lord Chaitanya's way of worship, or the Yuga Dharma in Kali Yuga, is chanting the holy names. So it said, Hare Nama Eva Kevalam, Kalau Nasti, Eva Nasti, Eva Nasti, Eva Gatir Anyata. Hare Nama Eva. So in this age of Kali, the only way of making advancement is by chanting the holy names of the Lord, chanting the holy names of the Lord, and that's the only means of deliverance. So we see that how by this chanting of the Maha Mantra, we can achieve the highest. It's amazing if you think about it, what's been given to us. So how we in Kali Yuga, we hardly have any qualifications. Before, if you had to be in the mode of goodness to pursue spiritual life. But in Kali Yuga, being in the lowest modes of passion and ignorance, how Prabhupada is not encouraging us to meditate on the Virat Rupa, but Prabhupada is giving us a different means by which we can attain the highest. So it is said that the benefit we get by chanting the holy names in Kali Yuga, the benefit one gets in Satya Yuga by meditation, in Treta Yuga by performing five sacrifices, in Dwapara Yuga by deity worship, all that can be achieved in Kali Yuga by chanting the holy names. So there's this verse, Dwaparai Janai Vishnu Pancharatrai Stukevalai Kalau Tu Nama Matrena Pujyate Bhagavan Hari. They said that in Dwapara Yuga, people should worship Lord Vishnu only by regulative principles of the Narad Pancharatra and other such authorized books. In the age of Kali, however, people should simply chant the holy names of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we can see how by simply chanting the names of Krishna, one can achieve perfection. And then there's this famous verse, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Iti sodashakam namna kali kalmasa nashanam nata paratarayo payaha sarva videshu drishyate. This is from the Kali Santarana Upanishad. That after searching through all the Vedic literature, one cannot find a method of religion more sublime for this age than the chanting of Hare Krishna. So we see how even in the scriptures, there's so much emphasis on the chanting of the holy names. And in fact, chanting of the holy names is the Yuga Dharma. So every age has its Dharma. So in Kali Yuga, the Yuga Dharma is the congregational chanting of the holy names. And as mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna Varnam Trisha Krishna Sango Pangasha Parshadam Yagyaya Sankirtana Praya Yajanti Hi Sumedasa. That intelligent persons in the age of Kali, intelligent persons, they perform congregational chanting to worship the Lord, the incarnation of Krishna, who constantly sings the name of Krishna. So that's referring to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So in Kali Yuga, so the chanting of the Maha Mantra is the prime means. And we can see that how in all our activities are accompanied by the chanting of the Maha Mantra. So all our services are actually meant to bring us to the point of chanting Hare Krishna with attention and devotion. That's what it's all meant for. So it's said that the foremost duty of a disciple to one's spiritual master and to the entire parampara is to chant 16 rounds of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra offenselessly, and to complete one 16 rounds every day. That's the first service of a disciple to one spiritual master and to the entire parampara. So in Kali Yuga, the prime means of advancement is chanting. So we have to come to the stage where we develop a taste for chanting Hare Krishna. So the Yuga Dharma is not deity worship or prasadam distribution or university preaching or book distribution or pot washing. But the Yuga Dharma is actually chanting the holy names of the Lord in congregation. That's the Yuga Dharma. But all these other services are very important and they have to be done, and they all are meant to support the chanting of Hare Krishna. So we see in deity worship, it is accompanied by the chanting of mantras. So even in our preaching, we in a program we do, there is chanting in that also. There's time allotted for chanting. And Prabhupada emphasized book distribution a lot, because otherwise people will think we are just a bunch of sentimentalists chanting Hare Krishna on the streets. So the books are there to convince people about chanting Hare Krishna. That's why the books are there. Not only to convince others, but even they are there to convince us. So Prabhupada's books are there to convince us that this material world is not our home, and that the spiritual world is our home, and how to develop love for Krishna. So the Sambandha, Abhideya and Prayojana is described in Prabhupada's books to bring one to the point of chanting Hare Krishna. So that's why chanting is so important. So we have, there's japa, and then there is sankirtan. So japa is there because it gives one strength, and from japa the kirtan expands, and then all the other services, they expand from the chanting, from the chanting of our japa. So it's very important to chant attentively and without offenses. So just to sum it up, as this verse describes, that the personality of Godhead is not inactive. So when we think of the universal form, we can conceive that it is a person and is active, because if someone is breathing, that means there is life. So that tells us that the personality of Godhead is not inactive, and that this universal form is only is an imposition on matter, and that for us the prime means of advancement is chanting the holy names of the Lord. Any questions or comments? Yes, Prabhu.
You mentioned about the Atmaram,
yeah,
attribute of the Lord. Now the Mayavadis create a controversy over this.
Mm.
They say, how is the Atmaram? How is your Krishna Atmaram? He needs his sakis, he needs your service, he needs so many things. He needs you to chant his names, he needs all this interaction with all these people, Mother Yasoda to dress him, his boyfriend to play with him, his sakis to be with him.
Mm.
So where is the Atmaram? This question of the Lord.
Mm.
So perhaps you would like to.
Where is the Atmaram? Okay. Maybe I'll just read you.
Atmaram is self satisfied, but he's not self satisfied. He's dependent on so many people. So our Brahman, our impersonal Brahman, is Atmaram, but your Krishna is not Atmaram. See? Your Krishna is inferior to the Brahman you call this.
Yeah.
Because Brahman is self-situated equilibrium state.
Hmm.
But your Krishna, if he does not get what he wants, he cries. Mother Yashoda, I want the moon. And if he doesn't get it, he cries.
Yeah.
So where is his Atmaram? So see, he's not the supreme. The Brahman is the supreme.
Yeah. So, yeah, Krishna is Atmaram. And people who don't understand, due to lack of knowledge of the Lord, they misunderstand all this. So they say, as you are pointing out, that Krishna is in lack, he needs all these things. But if you see, he doesn't really need that. Just to give an example, it's there in the first canto. When Krishna came to Dwarka, all the queens were there to greet him, and it's described that those queens were even more beautiful than the goddess of fortune. But Krishna, he renounced their company after some time. So if someone is, you know, not Atmaram, then they'll be hankering after those women. So if Krishna is not Atmaram, he'll be hankering after them. He would be enslaved to them, whereas he could renounce them. So we can see how Krishna expands as the jivas to increase his pleasure potency, but at the same time, he's not. He can do without them if he wants to. So that's one way of telling them that Krishna is independent.
This is another example, similar thing that he
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. That's yeah, he left the gopis also.
With the permission, if I can share, because this is what I've heard, it's not something that I know or personally, and I've heard it from the Parampara. Vallabhacharya in his Subodhini Tika to the Bhagavad, he answers their controversy. He says that you have this controversy because you have misunderstood Krishna, like you pointed out. You have not understood his nature. You are thinking of him as a material existence, he's entirely spiritual. Actually the source of everything, and all his interaction with all these people that he have are his internal energy. So it's his own energy. His Atmanabhata is in place, intact, without compromise. There is nothing external that he wants. This is his own. It's like my own head.
Yeah, that's a good
scratching
point.
My own head.
Yeah.
So I'm not dependent on somebody to come and scratch my head. It's my own head. It's my internal, you know, it's integral to me. So this is how Sri Padmavacharya, you know, shuts the Mayavadis out. Then it is with Atmaramatha, whereas the Brahman, its very existence is dependent on Krishna. So it cannot be fully independent and fully in equilibrium. On the other hand, Krishna, all these interactions with Mother Jasoda, with all these pastimes, they are his very internal potency, it's his internal energy. It's not external, he's not externally dependent on anything. So, this is what I remember.
Thank you. There was one conversation. Can't give the, you know, reference to it, but what I've read somewhere that one time one person, he was Indian man, he was asking Prabhupada, you know, why is Krishna dancing with the gopis? Krishna is you know, an abominable person. He's dancing with the wives of, he's enjoying the wives of other people. And then Prabhupada shot back, he said, you know, you are an immoral person, you are enjoying with your wife. Your wife is meant to be enjoyed by Krishna. So that means everything is the potency of Krishna. So as we said, you know, Krishna is just using his own potency for his own pleasure, so it belongs to him. So there's no question of immorality and lack on his part because it belongs to him. Yes, fellow.
Just share something like it's like Srila Jivu from his side, the soul and part of person of Krishna, of Supreme Personality of God. And part of the soul, the duty to serve to the conflict, that's where the part and person will be happy, actual happiness will come there. So Krishna is acting such a way the part of the person can be happy. It's not that like he needs happiness. So the way the devotees want to serve him, that's his bhakta vatsala, or in English word.
Parental.
Yeah, like he's very compassionate to the living entity. That's his compassion. It's not like something is coming down from Atmarama to Srila Devotion, you go to so many verses from the Bhagavatam and other shastras, especially from Bhagavatam, and he completely decide their thinking is completely the other way. They're thinking, they're speculating in their mind. It is not that he's falling down from his Atma platform. You know, sometimes, another example he gave, like, High court judge, when he sits on the high court of court, he judges for everyone. But when he comes to home, maybe his son will be relied on him. And it's not like he's servant of the son or like he's falling down from his position. But at the moment he's serving that, you know, his son is acting like a, you know, servant. It's nothing, like he's not falling down from his platform. He's just giving pleasure to his son. So same way, like Krishna, he wants to give mercy to the
listen to this, the point I was making in the class about the Supreme Lord instructing Durvasa Muni. He says, O best of the Brahmanas, without saintly persons for whom I am the only destination, I do not desire to enjoy my transcendental bliss and my supreme opulences. So here, you know, the Lord is himself is saying, without saintly persons for whom I'm the only destination, I do not desire to enjoy my transcendental bliss and my supreme opulence. So Prabhupada says in the purport, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is self-sufficient, but to enjoy his transcendental bliss, he requires the cooperation of his devotees. In Vrindavan, for example, although Lord Krishna is full in himself, he wants the cooperation of his devotees, like the cowherd boys and the gopis, to increase his transcendental bliss. Such pure devotees, who can increase the pleasure potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, are certainly most dear to him. Not only does the Supreme Personality of Godhead enjoy the company of his devotees, but because he is unlimited, he wants to increase his devotees unlimitedly. Thus, he descends to the material world to induce the non-devotees and rebellious living entities to return home back to Godhead. He requests them to surrender unto him because, unlimited as he is, he wants to increase his devotees unlimitedly. The Krishna Conscious Movement is an attempt to increase the number of pure devotees of the Supreme Lord more and more. It is certain that a devotee who helps in this endeavor to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead becomes indirectly a controller of the Supreme Lord. Although the Supreme Lord is full in six opulences, he does not feel transcendental bliss without his devotees. An example that may be cited in this regard is that if a very rich man does not have sons in the family, he does not feel happiness. Indeed, sometimes a rich man adopts a son to complete his happiness. The science of transcendental bliss is known to the pure devotee. Therefore, the pure devotee is always engaged in increasing the transcendental happiness of the Lord. So, without devotees, Krishna doesn't want to enjoy his potency. So, to enjoy his potency, devotees are there.
Experience and taste the nature of exchange.
changed with the Lord Himself. So that way he wanted to keep devotees' association and keep the devotees to bring back to Godhead and all things like that. So it is not the common people given a chance of exchange of their persons. It is obviously the Lord's Father Family, Lord's eternal associates who come to their father. But Lord is giving an opportunity by exhibition of exchange so that common people like us get attracted to and also want to become a devotee where we will get that opportunity.
Thank you. Anything else? Srila Prabhupada ki.
Yeah.